Chapter 25. So how Sir Marhaus fought with the Duke and his six sons and made them to yield them. Then came the four sons by couple, and two of them brake their spears, and so did the other two, and all this while Sir Marhaus touched them not. And then Sir Marhaus ran to the Duke and smote him with a spear, that the horse and man fell to the earth. And so they served his sons. And then Sir Marhaus alit down and bade the Duke yield him, or else he would slay him. And then some of his sons recovered and would have set upon Sir Marhaus. Then Sir Marhaus said to the Duke, "Cease thy sons, or else I will do the uttermost to you all." And then the Duke saw he might not escape the death. He cried to his sons and charged him to yield them to Sir Marhaus, and they kneeled all down and put the pummels of their swords to the knight, and so he received them. Page 161. And then they helped their father, and so by their communal assent promised to Sir Marhaus never to be foes unto the King Arthur. And thereupon at Whitsuntide, after to come, he and his son put them in their king's grace. And then Sir Marhaus departed, and within 2 days his damosel brought him, whereas there was a great tournament, that the Lady de Vos had cried, and who that did best should have a rich circlet of gold, worth 1,000 bezants. There's an asterisk after bezants, and asterisk reads, the bezants are gold coins. Return to text. And there Sir Marhaus did so nobly that he was renowned and had sometimes down 40 knights, and so the circlet of gold was rewarded him.
Then he departed from thence with great worship, and so within 7 nights his damosel brought him to an earl's place. His name was the Earl Fergus, that after was Sir Tristram's knight, and this earl was but a young man, and late come into his lands. And there was a giant fast by him, that hight Talrud, and he had another brother in Cornwall, that hight Talus, that Sir Tristram slew when he was out of his mind. So this earl made his complaint unto Sir Marhaus, that there was a giant by him that destroyed all his lands, and how he durst nowhere ride nor go for him. "Sir," said the knight, "whether useth he to fight on horseback or on foot?" "Nay," say the earl, "there may no horse bear him." "Well," said Sir Marhaus, "then will I fight with him on foot." So on the morn Sir Marhaus prayed the earl that one of his men might bring him whereas the giant was. And so he was, for he saw him sit under a tree of holly, and many clubs of iron and gez arms. Footnote, gez arms, battle axes, about him. So this knight dressed him to the giant, putting his shield afore him, and the giant took an iron club in his hand, and at the first stroke he clave Sir Marhaus's shield in 2 pieces. And there he was in great peril, for the giant was a wily fighter, but at last Sir Marhaus smote off his right arm above the elbow. Then the giant fled, and the knight after him. And so he drove him into a water, but the giant was so high that he might not wade after him. Page 162. And then Sir Marhaus made the Earl Fergus's man to fetch him stones, and with those stones the knight gave the giant many sore knocks, till at the last he made him fall down into the water, and so was he there dead. Then Sir Marhaus went unto the giant's castle, and there he delivered 24 ladies and 12 knights out of the giant's prison, and there he had great riches without number, so that the days of his life he was never a poor man. Then he returned to the Earl Fergus, the which thanked him greatly, and would have given him half his lands, but he would not take. So Sir Marhaus dwelled with the earl nigh 1/2 year, for he was sore bruised with the giant, and at the last he took his leave. And as he rode by the way, he met with Sir Gawain and Sir Ewain, and so by adventure he met with 4 knights of Arthur's court. The first was Sir Sagramore le Desirous, Sir Ozana, Sir Dodonius le Savage, and Sir Philo of Listoni. And there Sir Melhaus with one spear smote down these four knights and hurt them sore. So he departed to meet at his day aforeset. Chapter 26. How Sir Ewain rode with a damsel of 60 years of age, and how he gat the prize at Tournemine. Now turn we unto Sir Ewain, that rode westward with his damsel of 80 winter of age, and she brought him there, as was a tournament nigh the March of Wales. And at that tournament Sir Ewain smote down 30 knights, therefore was given him the prize, and that was a gerfalcon, and a white steed trapped with cloth of gold. So then Sir Ewain did many adventures by the means of the old damsel, and so she brought him to a lady that was called the Lady of the Rock, the which was much courteous. Page 163. So there were in the country 2 knights that were brethren, and they were called 2 perilous knights. The one knight hight Sir Edward of the Red Castle, and the other Sir Hugh of the Red Castle. And these 2 brethren had disinherited the Lady of the Rock of a barony of lands by their extortion. And as this knight was lodged with this lady, she made her complaint to him of these 2 knights. "Madam," said Sir Ewain, "they are to blame, for they do against the high order of knighthood and the oath that they made. And if it like you, I will speak with him, because I am a knight of King Arthur's, and I will entreat them with fairness. And if they will not, I shall do battle with them, and in the defense of your right." "Gramercy," said the lady, "and thereas I may not acquit you, God shall." So on the morn the 2 knights were sent for, that they should come thither to speak with the Lady of the Rock. And wit ye well, they failed not, for they came with an 100 horse. But when this lady saw them in this manner so big, she would not suffer Sir Ewain to go out to them upon no surety, nay, for no fair language, but she made him speak with them over a tower. But finally these 2 brethren would not be entreated, and answered that they would keep that they had. "Well," said Sir Ewain, "then will I fight with one of you, and prove that ye do this lady wrong." "They will we not," said they, "for, and we do battle. We 2 will fight with 1 knight at once, and therefore, if ye will fight so, we will be ready at what hour ye will assign. And if ye win us in battle, the lady shall have her lands again." "Ye say well," said Sir Ewain. "Therefore make you ready, so that ye be here to morn in the defense of the lady's right." Page 164. Chapter 27. How Sir Ewain fought with 2 knights and overcame them. So was there silkerness made on both parties? Silkerness, footnote, assurance, made on both parties that no treason should be wrought on neither party. So then the knights departed and made them ready, and that night Sir Ewain had great cheer. And on the morn he arose early and heard mass, and brake his fast, and so he rode unto the plain without the gates, where he hove the 2 brethren abiding him. So they rode together, passing sore, that Sir Edward and Sir Hugh brake their spears upon Sir Ewain. And Sir Ewain smote Sir Edward that he fell over his horse, and yet his spear brassed not. And then he spurred his horse and came upon Sir Hugh and overthrew him. But they soon recovered and dressed their shields and drew their swords and bade Sir Ewain alight and do his battle to the utmost. Then Sir Ewain devoided, footnote, dismounted from his horse suddenly, and put his shield afore him and drew his sword. And so they dressed together, and either gave other such strokes. And there these 2 brethren wounded Sir Ewain's passing grievously, that the Lady of the Rock weened he should have died. And thus they fought together 5 hours as men raged out of reason. And at the last Sir Ewain smote Sir Edward upon the helm, such a stroke that his sword carved into his cannel bone, and then Sir Hugh abated his courage, but Sir Ewain pressed fast to have slain him. That saw Sir Hugh, he kneeled down and yielded him to Sir Ewain, and he of his gentleness received his sword and took him by the hand and went into the castle together. Then the Lady of the Rock was passing glad, and the other brother made great sorrow for his brother's death. Then the lady was restored of all her lands, and Sir Hugh was commanded to be at the court of King Arthur at the next feast of Pentecost. So Sir Ewain dealt with the lady nigh half a year, for it was long, or he might be whole of his great hurt. Page 165. And so when it drew nigh the term day that Sir Gawain and Sir Malhaus, Sir Ewain, should meet at the crossway, then every knight drew him thither to hold his promise that they had made. And Sir Malhaus and Sir Ewain bought their damsels with them, but Sir Gawain had lost his damsel, as it is afore rehearsed. Chapter 28. How at the year's end all three knights with their three damsels met at the fountain. Right so at the 12 months' end, they met all three knights at the fountain and their damsels. But the damsel that Sir Gawain had could say but little worship of him, so that he parted from the damsels and rode through a great forest, and there they met with a messenger that came from King Arthur, that had sought them well nigh a 12 month, throughout all England, Wales, and Scotland, and charged if ever he might find Sir Gawain and Sir Ewain to bring them to the court again. And then were they all glad, and so prayed they, Sir Marhaus, to ride with them to the king's court. And so within 12 days they came to Camelot, and the king was passing glad of their coming, and so was all the court. Then the king made them to swear upon a book to tell him all their adventures that had befallen them that 12 month, and so they did. And there was Sir Marhaus well known, for there were knights that he had matched aforetime, and he was named one of the best knights living. Against the feast of Pentecost came the damsel of the lake, and brought with her Sir Pelleas, and at that high feast there was great jousting of knights and of all the knights that were at that jousts. Sir Pelleas had the prize, and Sir Marhaus was named the next. But Sir Pelleas was so strong, there might but few knights sit him a buffet with a spear. Page 166. And at the next feast, Sir Pelleas and Sir Marhaus were made knights of the Table Round, for there were two sieges void, for two knights were slain that 12 month, and great joy had King Arthur of Sir Pelleas and of Sir Marhaus. But Pelleas loved never after Sir Gawain, but as he spared him for the love of King Arthur. But oft times at jousts and tournaments, Sir Pelleas quit Sir Gawain, for so it rehearseth in the Book of French. So Sir Tristram many days after fought with Sir Marhaus in an island, and there they did a great battle, but at the last Sir Tristram slew him. So Sir Tristram was wounded, that unneath he might recover, and lay at a nunnery half a year. And Sir Pelleas was a worshipful knight, and was one of the four that achieved the Sangreal. Footnote. Explicit liber quartus, incipit liber quintus. And the damsel of the lake made by her means that never he had ado with Sir Lancelot de Lake. For were Sir Lancelot was at any jousts of or any tournament, she would not suffer him be there that day, but if it were on the side of Sir Lancelot. End of Book 4.